Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here in this thing to believe in, Reverend Lily Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's something to believe in with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
And so it is good to come to your homes and tell you, you are my friends, and I have been preaching to you for many years, and you've blessed me by supporting me on this radio ministry, and I'm so glad that together we stand, but it's divided that we fall. So we're glad today that you're there, and I hope that you're feeling great. I hope that everything's well with your soul. We have a lot of people we're praying for, and well, I could name a lot of names, but I'm just going to say a lot of people that we are praying for, and I hope that they're doing well this morning. So let's get right into our broadcast and do this beautiful song for you.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell, and was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He will do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power that can conquer you if God be on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He will do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no
Yes, sir, it is no secret what God can do. And what He's done for others, He's going to do for you. I like that song. That song is a great song of inspiration. And I hope that it inspires you this morning, because He loves you. And regardless of what you've been, where you've been, and what you've been, and And I don't care what the situation is, he still loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for you upon a cross. And you can believe that this morning and be saved. Well, let's go and do this one right here. Jimmy Mayberry introduced me to this little recitation. I love it. It says, me, Pap, and Mother.
When I was a little tyke, I sat at the table between my pap and my mother, and I ate all that I was able. Pap, he fed me on one side and mother on the other. We were chums those days, me, pap, and mother. On Sunday, we'd take a great long walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pap, he was always carrying an old cane, while mother and me picked at the astros. Sometimes a sister was along, and other times a brother. But there was always us three, me, Pap, and Mother. Pap, it seemed, always had his head down, thinking. He didn't even hear me and Mother, and the old cowbell clinking. The long streak across his face showed that he was always worried. About one thing or another. I didn't always understand Pap, and Mother didn't either. I grew up and I went away. I left the farm behind me. Just thinking of those parting nearly chokes me and blinds me now. I would have been all right living with a married brother, but we three had always been together, me, Pap, and Mother. I hurried back one day, and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd be going where we couldn't follow. The long streaks in his face showed how much he had longed back for one another. How that we had talked face to face, we to hold back the tears, me, Pap, and Mother. Well, Pap's gone, but Mother ain't. Soon we'll be reckoning. She says she's already sees Pap's face, and his fingers are beckoning. Life ain't long. I'll go myself one day. Another, but we three will then be together, me, Pap, and Mother. Pretty hills that we will have to climb, and Pat and the paths for us to wander. We'll sit by the river of life, never to weary, me, Pap, and Mother. We'll hear the wild birds singing, me, Pap, and Mother, and see the wrens splashing, singing to one another. If God will only let us three be together, we'll have a wonderful time up there in heaven, me, Pap, and Mother.
Yes, sir, we're going to have a great time up there. I appreciate the cards I received on Keeley Face passing. And Martha has been gone 2 years this month, and it just doesn't seem real that she'd be gone. Anyhow, she's been gone 2 years. It seemed like time just flies. But listen, a lot of people lose loved ones, and I don't want to sound biggish and think that I'm the only one. I know there's a lot of people go through deep valleys, and they lose a loved one, and it's hard when you lose a loved one to the ground. But anyhow, we know where they're at this morning. They're in basking in the arms of Jesus. I saw something on Facebook. Martha and Keeley Faith were sitting on the couch, and I thought, well, Martha's taking care of Keeley Faith now, and Keeley Faith is happy, and so is Martha. So I'm not going to grieve because they're gone. I'm just happy that where they went to.
Wash my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it off and looked inside. foolish pride. He swept away the things that made me blind, and then I saw the clouds were silver light, and now I understand 'twas best for me. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The glory of himself revealed to me. I did not know that he had wounded hands. I saw the blood he spilled upon the sands. I saw the marks of shame and wept and cried. He was my substitute. For me he died, and now I'm glad he came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears that I might see. And wash my eyes with tears that I might see.
It's hard for me to realize that Martha's gone, but I'm not going to grieve for Martha because I knew the situation she went through, and I wouldn't want her coming back and having to go through that situation again. But I miss her. I miss her an awful lot. But anyhow, I think that she is in her reward as of right now, and I can't grieve over that. I've got to let her go. So I'm glad that God gave her to me for almost 60 years, and I'm not going to sit around and grieve over her now because I know where she's at, and I know she's in a better place. So let's go right now listen to the keeper of our soul.
In chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, reading in verse 1, "And now Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought all the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou biddest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, When they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Father, your word for your people honored. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And all the people said it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If there's one thing that I would like to say to you, that back in 1968, I began my first radio ministry. I began my ministry in Hinton, West Virginia. Never forget it. I could even tell you the passage and the scripture that I preached on my first radio message. But I made a statement on that radio station, and one of my very good friends called it to my attention, and I've made it one of my awareness things ever since I've been preaching. And I try to make it very plain and very obvious to people. I made the statement that all men are the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. This great man of God told me, he said, Tommy, that's not a true statement. And I'd like to say to you today, that isn't a true statement. Not every man is the brotherhood of man. And not every man is the fatherhood of God. Man only becomes the sons of God through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say that to you today. Maybe you just thought you accidentally got into God's plan. It wasn't like that. God planned it, God purposed it, and Jesus purchased it at Calvary. That's how you got into the fatherhood of God. But this morning I want to speak on something, and I think it's very, very obvious and very interesting to the church. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, it was God that asked that question. When he came and Cain had slew his brother Abel, he came to Cain and he said, Cain, where is thy brother Abel? You know, there was two great answers to that question. And one answer we overlook entirely. But I think it's a very powerful question, and it needs a very honest answer. Cain said to God, I know not. And you know, today I'd like to ask you, if you're your brother's keeper, do you know where he is? If you are your brother's keeper, do you know where your brother is? Cain knew where Abel was, but yet he says back to God, I don't know. And you know, church today, if we being the church of God don't know our areas and our situations, we are in trouble. Because we ought to know our areas and our situations. We ought to know where God is calling us to. We ought to know the things that God is calling us for. And we are our brother's keeper. But if God came today and he said to you and I, where is thy brother? Would you say to God, I don't know? Would you have to say to God, I don't know? You see, that's why it's a very important answer. And I pray today that our church would not say that, make that statement to God. Because it's a very critical and very sad statement. Not to know where your brother is. Because you see, God said to Cain, Cain, where is thy brother Abel? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You know what Cain was saying to God? The same thing a lot of us church people do. We say back to God, I don't know. After all, God, he's not my responsibility. But this last Sunday of this year, I want to challenge you to answer that question. If you know where your brother is, you ought to know what your responsibility is. You see, that's our problem today. We don't want no responsibility. We don't want to have to do anything. We want to go to church on Sunday morning. We want to give of our tithes. We want to give of our time. But we overlook the main thrust of God's message. We are responsible. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm in debt to the Jew. I'm in debt to the Greek. I'm in debt to every man I meet on the street. John Wesley made a statement. Oh, by the way, you know who he is. He's the founder of the great Methodist Church. He said, the world is my parish. And this morning, we as Christians make the same statement. Is He my responsibility? Will we be held responsible for our brother? Will we be held responsible for those that we meet in life? Well, you say, well, preacher, that's your job. Well, I've got news for you, my friend. I know my responsibility. I know what God has called me to do. God called me to a message of faith. He taught me how to live and walk by faith. I do not walk by sight. I walk by faith. I was converted on the sidewalks of Roanoke, Virginia. I was converted, and I remember the passage of Scripture that I was asked. I'd been to church all my life. I had been baptized. I had sung in the choir. I had done everything any good church-going boy ought to do. But yet I was unsaved. I did not know Christ as a personal Savior. You see, because I was a whole lot like a whole lot of other people. I wanted to go to heaven, but I wanted to live in the world. I wanted all that God had, but I wanted also all that the world had. I was torn between good and bad. I wanted all that God had to give, but I didn't want to give God anything. The question was asked me was this. How long will you halt between two opinions? You see, there's a verse of Scripture that my brother was buried by as an alcoholic. When I would to do good, evil was always present. When I wanted to do good, evil is always present. And you know, that's the downfall of many people. But when God called me to preach, it wasn't the bishop. Now, the bishop appoints, but God sends the preacher. How can they preach except they be sent? And how can you hear except there be a preacher? You see, a preacher is not just any ordinary Joe off the street. When he stands before you and expounds upon the Word of God and the honest of God, you should pay attention. You know, back in Israel's day, when the prophet would stand before the people, the horn would blow, and the people came to attention. And the prophet would stand among the people, and you will read it in Scripture. You know the first words that came from that prophet's mouth? Hear ye, O Israel! You know what they knew? They knew he had a message from God, and it was very important that they listen. You see, we have a priest in the Bible, and we have a prophet. The priest is the one who offers a sacrifice unto God. But the prophet is the one who speaks to the people about the articles of God. So when he said to the people, Hear, O Israel, they knew that something important was coming down the pike. Notice in Ezekiel, a man who was called of God, a preacher if you please, in Ezekiel 3:18, When I say to the wicked man, You shall surely die, and you do not warn him from his evil ways to save his life. That wicked man shall die for his sins, but you will be accountable for his blood. That's what the preacher man said. That's what I should say. You know, I've had so many people to say to me, why do you always preach on sin? Well, is not that the message that God has given us to preach? Why did John the Baptist, when he looked and seen Jesus coming down the hill, why did he say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Because the Bible said all men have sinned. All men have fallen. All men have failed and come short to the glory of God. We all like sheep have gone astray. Every man hath turned to his own way. It's still yet repentance. It's still yet the soul of sin's going to die. Our message should be to the sinner. The saint of God ought to rejoice. If sins have been forgiven, you ought to shout. You ought to worship and praise God in such a magnified way. Because sins have been forgiven. The blood has been applied. You ought not sit and soak and sour. You ought to be the happiest person that ever lived. The preacher who has preached to you. I didn't like that guy either. My last 6 months, I never saw a man eat so much chicken in all my life. Now the educated preacher today don't like chicken. Did you know that? They accuse us of like chicken, but you know what I like? I like steak with some green peppers and onions smothered over top of it. You see, my chompers, I paid too much for them to eat that old...
But you knew where to find me. was hungry, you were bread for my hungry soul. I was thirsty, and you gave me living water. You were my shelter, and I had no place to go. Sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you and not asking you for anything. Sometimes I lift my hands to you. Sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you, Lord. And Calvary is the reason why. When I think of the love that you've given, Lord, when I think of the awful price that you paid just for me, why then the trials of this earth, they just seem like nothing when they're compared to dark Calvary. Sometimes I just want to praise you.
Our Father, we want to thank you for the broadcast today. I want to thank you for all those who have listened today. I feel much inspired today. The people have supported me greatly, and they've stood behind me, and I appreciate that. I pray for the sick. I pray for the lost. I pray for the shut-in. I pray for those who are shut out from the house of God. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to use this ministry for your glory, that you might receive the glory and the honor. A man said to me the other day, he said, "You're a man of God." I said, "No, I'm just a man who has been called by God. I'm a minister who has been called of God, and I love my ministry. I've been preaching for 59 years, and God has blessed me, and it's through you. You've stood by me, and I appreciate that. And I want you to continue to pray for me and financially help me if you can. But until the same time next Sunday, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Asking you for a thing.